In his dream, Z heard maniacal laughter filling the house. It bounced from wall to wall and reverberated in his ears. It became the pounding drum of his heartbeat until he thought he would scream from the very closeness, the sheer intimacy of the sound. He stood in the foyer of the grand house, its sweeping staircase looming in front of him, and he knew that the laughter emanated from somewhere up there. It was his task, and his alone, to face the madness upstairs. He didn't want to go. He felt the dread deep in his belly, felt the chill along his spine as fear touched the back of his neck. And riding on the back of fear, like a putrid deformity, was the smell of blood. It filled his nostrils, clotting his breathing, making the back of his throat raw as the smell caught in its wet recesses. "This is a dream," his mind whispered. "Just wake up." He had done it often enough in dreams. If things became too scary, he had the ability to force his eyes open, force the dream to end. He always had the sensation of swimming upwards to consciousness, to the world of light. Do it now, now! He pushed against the world of darkness and forced his eyes to open. Nothing. This was no dream. And the terror dropped from his belly into his balls, sapping him of strength, of will. And still the laughter, insane, insistent, terrible. He needed a weapon before he confronted the madman upstairs. He went into the kitchen, beautifully clean and shiny, despite the smell of blood infusing everything, and began pulling open drawers. The knife found its way into his hand on its own, and as his hand closed over the shaft, everything dropped away except for the gleaming blade and the sound of laughter. His fear melted into resolve, and as he mounted the stairs, the knife out in front of him, his joy at what he must do shone almost as brightly as the diamond hard edge of the blade. He stood at the top of the stairs, and although the laughter filled the spaces, he turned unerringly to the right, to the door at the end of the hall. His vision narrowed, tunneled, until only that rectangle of dark wood held any meaning. He turned the knob and entered. The violet room, tiny purple, with white flowers dotting the curtains and bedspread, wavered at the edge of his vision and blurred into meaninglessness. The woman stood in front of him, her hands held out in supplication, as though she were a pale-skinned Madonna-like statue in a garden full of blooms. Her nightgown, matching the bedspread, billowed around her, turning her into an angel in flight. He stood in front of her, close enough to touch, close enough to see the tiny edge of soap her washcloth had missed, close enough to smell the scent of moisturizer that was like his mother's. "Please," she whispered. And in one fluid motion, quick and yet sluggish in this slow-motion dream, he slashed the knife across her throat. As the blood spurted across his hands, he realized the laughter was his own.